So today, ladies and gentlemen, I've sat here with Tom Parry.
Hi.
International jet setter, man of mystery.
Really? When did I gain that accolade?
When you flew off to Prague and to Glasgow and to everywhere else you've been in the past like month and a half. What have you learned on your travels?
I've learned that I like playing Tetris and I like Persona 4.
Interesting. It's Tom Matt Attack.
To be fair, I already knew I liked Tetris. I didn't know that I'd get so into Persona 4, though.
It's almost as if it's a good game.
Although I do have some issues with it.
Yeah.
Of course I do.
But before that, before you get in your issues with RPGs, because that's going to take a while, how are you doing? You good?
Yeah, I think it's quite hot today.
It is, yeah. Quite a weird day in Denmark. Let me paint you a picture with words, ladies and gentlemen at home. It's quite warm outside, yet the sky is grey and overcast. It's a beautiful, like, 17
it's
degrees
probably
here
be
in
a
Denmark.
Storm, isn't it?
It will probably be a storm, yeah, which is not good news for me because I'm about to go out to a concert.
I got my washing in.
Yes.
Off the line.
Off the line.
Are you going to a concert?
I'm going to a concert, lad, yeah.
Who are you going to see?
Going to see Jamie Cullum, man with piano.
Where you see him?
I don't see him in Aarhus. I'm going to stop talking like a Yorkshireman for offence of Yorkshireman.
Oh, this evening?
Yes, this very evening. So yeah, I'm going to go do that. What about you? Any plans?
I'm not going to do that. No, I'll probably watch Superman 3 tonight. I watched Superman 2 last night.
Oh, great. Cool.
Superman 2 isn't as good as I remember it.
No, Tom. There's a reason the Superman 3 is the travesty it is because Superman 2 wasn't that great either.
But I think it's troubled production has got something to do with it.
Yes, it does. But this is not Tom and Matt talking about
movies. No.
This is not that podcast. That was a one-off that happened last week because...
So I'm not allowed to talk about Superman 2
You're not
anymore.
Allowed to talk about films. Oh. No. I don't know.
You're lucky I've been playing some games as well.
Good. Yeah.
How about you?
I'm all right.
I've been
playing some video games. But let's get into brass tacks, Tom Parry. Let's not tease it out. What's your issues with Persona 4?
Okay, right.
Perhaps one of the greatest JRPGs of all time.
Persona 4, right?
Right.
Too much talking.
Yeah.
If it's interesting, then fair enough. But sometimes they're just going over things you already know.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite obvious what's happened, and it's quite obvious the reason why this has happened, right?
Yeah.
I don't need it re-explaining to me over several passages of text which seem to go on forever. And I find, in general, the writing could be a little bit more concise.
Yes.
I find this in a lot of RPGs. Japanese, I think, especially.
Yeah.
They kind of go over the same stuff. And they go, you're just trying to drag this out.
I just think it's how people actually have conversations. If you think about it, like...
No, but it's like, oh, yes, and this happened because of this. Oh, it's all starting to make sense now. Da 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 da. And I know.
Yeah, but you're a fly on the wall. Like, that is how an actual conversation happens if you really think about it.
I don't know. I just find it frustrating. I wish it just got on with it.
Okay.
Because at some parts of the game, it does. You know, the pace is pretty good. I also like the fact that Persona 4 has a lot of save points.
Yes,
so
it does.
So even though I'm not as inclined to play it on a short trip, like a bus journey to work.
I did.
I will play it on a plane because I know that's at least an hour. The trip, and I find that Persona 4 suits that sort of hour-long session.
Yeah, but I mean, like, there was a time and a place where I got my Vita where our bus trip to Billund used to be an hour, so I would often
play
it. Yeah,
it's about 45 minutes, and you could probably get a save point in that time. I just don't want to risk it. I feel that it's risky playing these RPGs on short trips.
But I mean, you've got, like, the save and sleep function, right? That's got the, like, you can shut the Vita down and then it saves the one place and
then you have to come back to it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm. I think I'm quite all right playing on planes. I've got another couple of flights coming up soon. So
oh, cool. So
I'll dip back into it.
What is it like?
I'll only play Persona on planes.
That 70-hour RPG, that's going to take you, what, like 7 years to beat?
I'll only play it when I'm on a plane.
Cool.
I haven't played that game anywhere else.
Okay.
It exists purely to be played on planes.
Interesting. How much have you actually played a bit? Where are you?
I must have played about 3 hours of it.
Are you in the first dungeon?
No.
Okay. I don't think you've played 3 hours of it then.
I've had three. No, actually, okay. No, I have played about 3 hours of it.
Have you experienced combat?
Yes.
Good.
Yes, but only fleetingly.
Yeah. What did you think about that?
Yeah.
So pretty much...
It was all right. I didn't think it was staggeringly amazing or anything. I had a golf club and then I found out I had a super effective attack and I used that and then I finished him off with my direct attack.
Yeah.
Or whatever it's called. And yeah, I can see this looks like there's some depth to that system.
There is, definitely.
Of course, that's going to be a little bit more apparent the more I play it, I think. Right now, they weren't trying to throw too much stuff at you straight away.
That combat system
is nice.
Surprisingly deep. It is the one thing that kept me playing Persona 5 the same way the combat system in Final Fantasy 15 kept me playing that game. Mm. It's very satisfying to play because of that battle system.
Yeah.
But I can't believe you're just like, yeah, the story's so boring. Like, that's the reason.
It's not boring. It's not the story's boring. Actually, I like the story, but it's like the fact they have to explain things I already understand.
What if I were to tell you that there was actually an anime adaptation of this that just tells you the story?
Yeah. No, because I quite like playing the game. I do like it. I don't like that mate of yours, really.
Yeah.
He's a bit irritating. I remember you telling me this last time we talked about it, and I hadn't really experienced it enough to make an opinion.
Oh, God, I can't remember the Persona 4 character names. I need to... I can only remember Chie, because she was my waifu. Persona 4 characters. What? Who is in your squad at the moment? Who are your characters? You surely should remember this. You've just played it.
Me and the other guy. And Chie, I suppose. We just got some weapons.
Yeah.
We just bought some weapons. I've got some armor and a sword, but I couldn't afford armor for that other guy.
Okay.
I don't care about him enough.
Poor him.
Everyone likes Persona, though, don't they?
Persona 4 is regarded as perhaps the best JRPG of all time. By
really?
Quite a few people, yeah.
Maybe the best modern JRPG.
Some people I have heard say that they actually prefer Persona 4 to things like Final Fantasy. Those people are wrong. But, you know, it doesn't stop people having that opinion.
Okay. Hey, how about this, Matt? You won't believe this. I've played another RPG.
Oh, fuck. What's wrong with you? Are you Tom Parry?
I can't believe this, right? Believe it. I picked up Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Okay.
While I was in Glasgow.
Yeah.
For £15.
That's not a bad price.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And I was chatting to the guy, and he says, he's saying, oh, yes, I remember when, you remember there was other RPGs that came out on the Wii, Last Story, he was saying, and Xenoblade Chronicles, the original, and Pandora's Tower. He says, I bought all of them. And I said, and then I got to send off for something. I got like this case to put them in. I got these medals and such. And you can only get them if you purchased all three and then sent
that's interesting. I didn't know that was a thing because I did
Nintendo. Yeah, and he says it's worth about £300 now. He's telling me he keeps looking on eBay how much it is. And eventually he says he'll sell it, but he doesn't need the money right away. Anyway, he was after all this. Obviously, he bought three RPGs. I'm like, oh, this guy must like RPGs. And he says, oh, yeah, I think you'll like Xenoblade Chronicles X. I'm not really a fan of RPGs, though, but I like it.
Yeah.
And he just put three for the Wii. It sort of shows the mentality of your Nintendo gamers. They want to get all the releases, Because, they're considered to be good games. But from experience, I know I'm not particularly partial to RPGs, but I was swayed with Xenoblade because it looked kind of impressive. And I liked the idea that it was a little bit more open than a lot of other RPGs. And having played through the prologue this morning, I was quite impressed by it. I also like the contemporary music in it. It's got sort of rap music in the battles.
Yes.
And as you walk around the city. Thematically, it reminded me of Phantasy Star.
Yeah,
the
very
fact
much so.
That you're on a big ship escaping, and then your ship crashes on a planet in this case.
Yeah.
It's not like exactly like Phantasy Star, where you would beam down to the planet. Mm-hmm. And then also it reminds me of Evangelion because of this city that's constructed, you know, this sort of shelter in this yes. strange alien world. And it felt very much like, what's it called? They call it something, don't they? I haven't seen Evangelion.
I haven't
ages,
seen
but the city yeah. in that, which is protected from the angels, so to speak. So, yeah. It's pretty good. It's very visually. It's very stunning.
Yeah,
I say stunning. What's stunning about the visuals is it's big, and it doesn't feel like anything's off limits. Sort of like Zelda, I suppose.
Yes, it is.
It's incredibly open.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's quite a lot of detail. But you know, if you get close up to stuff, it does look a little bit rough. But it's the scale yeah. of it which is I
supposedly
think, most
Monolith
impressive.
Helped out on Breath of the Wild.
That's right. Yes, I looked that up, and they did. Yeah.
They've
helped Nintendo with a few things.
Yes.
In recent years, since Nintendo purchased them, they bought all the shares from Namco Bandai, I think. Mm-hmm. So now they're a subsidiary
of Nintendo. Yeah, which
yeah.
makes perfect sense. I mean, they're very talented people. They always have been. I mean. You know, the studio's heritage goes back to Xenogears on the PlayStation. Mm. Like,
yeah, I read the history that the director of that game made that for Square.
Yes.
And then Square didn't want to continue the franchise, and he went off and did it himself.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, with Namco.
Well, the story of Xenogears is a bit more convoluted than that. Essentially, I forget the chap's name.
Yeah.
He is a bit of a...
Auteur?
Auteur, yeah. He very much is one of these it'll be ready when it's ready types.
Yeah.
And he was making Xenogears for what I believe was a terribly long time.
Yeah.
And it was going way over budget because the story was going certain places. And a lot of people actually feel cheated by that game because it's like a 40-hour game, I think, on the first disc. And then, like, the second disc is essentially a boss battle. And that's it. Because that's all they had time to.
Oh.
Because Square were like, okay, you've spent enough time on this game.
So they were like, oh, we don't want to be involved with
you. You need to ship this as one half. And if it sells well, you can wrap the story up.
Ah.
And he said, no, I want to wrap the story up because I have other stories to tell. This is the start of something bigger. And they were like, nah, mate, no, it isn't. So he... The first... disc of that game is a very long, very good RPG. The second disc feels a bit like a whimper, and a lot of it is told in the kind of Telltale we run out of money style of like black screen and text.
Like Evangelion.
Yeah, like tons of it is told through just black text.
Oh, that
text.
Would be disappointing.
Yeah, especially when the first half of that game is
I don't think I'm ever going to play it.
You should check it out on YouTube, though. Like, some of the anime in that thing is probably not aged too well, but I remember at the time it looked amazing.
Yeah.
And I played that game, and it's very long. It was one of the first things I signed up for an American PlayStation account to download. I now have a physical copy of it because it came out for sale. But, yeah, it's a very interesting game. Very some cool ideas into it.
The original one, yeah.
Chrono Trigger style combat as well, from what I remember, but it's been a while, so don't quote me on that.
The combat in this one is not what I expected at all. It's what do you call it? Real time.
Yeah, it's like Final Fantasy 12.
Yeah, so there's an enemy appears, and then you can choose an attack, and then it just automatically does the attack until you change the attack.
Yeah.
Which I found odd, because you're never firing a gun. You just selected it once, and then you were constantly firing the gun, and you can move around the enemy. And then you could, on the fly, change to different weapons.
Yeah.
It seemed to be, once I shot at it a bit, I was told to finish it off with some close-range attacks, so then I was...
Fisticuffs.
But I didn't really feel like I was impacting on it, particularly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It felt very much like I was just... my weapons were just moving through the enemy, and I didn't really feel like I was... I didn't even know if I was hitting it, but... Because I had another character helping me out.
Yeah.
So I didn't know whether they were doing all the work or I was doing the work.
Okay.
I think I did something.
Yeah, you must have.
And it's interesting how you don't have to necessarily attack the enemies. I like how it's treated that they are just beasts, wild beasts, and they're not out to kill you or anything like that. But if you bother them, they'll charge at you and they'll attack you. I guess it's similar with a lot of RPGs. All the monsters you encounter aren't necessarily slaves of some sort of evil villain.
No, they're just
enemies. Creatures that live in the world. Mm-hmm. And it's very much like that. And there's a lot of emphasis on we've got to try and live together with these creatures. You know, we don't really want to attack them. You've got to learn to avoid them if possible, cause especially some of the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
There's some creatures that are more violent than other ones. Some are just like wildebeests, kind of. Like, or big pigs, actually, probably. Visually, very nice. I like the design as well. I like the design of the creatures. The character design also is quite nice. It's a little bit different.
I've always really liked the character design. Now, like I said, Xenogears has a very, like, oh, we are making an anime-inspired sci-fi story, and, like, they are chop and cut and paste from, like, Final Fantasy game archetypes. Xenosaga is very much that same kind of art style. It's very, like, very rounded, like PlayStation 2 Japanese styles character models, but also very like jaggy sci-fi, and then that carries across into Xenoblade Chronicles, and then into
Chronicles X.
Yeah,
yeah. I like the fact that you can actually make your character at the beginning as well, and put the little details on like a scar, and there are several different things you could do with the character to make them look unique.
Yeah.
Only in their face and stuff. You couldn't change what they were wearing. I guess as you play the game, you get armors and things.
Yeah, I think so.
So it's a good first impression.
It's an incredibly long game, though, from what I hear.
Yeah, it is, I've heard. And I imagine a lot of it is walking around, because it takes quite a while to get from one place to the other, because the world's so big. But I think you get giant robots at some stage that you can pilot.
Seems that way, yeah. You do get this. All right, let's look on how long to beat, how long this is, because I remember it being somewhere upwards of like 80-odd hours, which is why I never started it. Okay, 70.
Oh, you have it, though?
I have it, yeah. I bought the collector's edition. I bought it the day it came out, because I was super excited for it.
Yeah.
But it was just a very long RPG after I'd beaten The Witcher. And I was like, I don't know if I
think
can...
it starts pretty strong. As I say, those Phantasy Star vibes are there. And you also like Phantasy Star.
I love Phantasy Star Online. So,
that immediately hooked me, because I haven't played many of these sci-fi RPGs, I guess.
There aren't too many of them, actually. I mean,
there's Star Ocean, I suppose.
Star Ocean
and
has
Rogue
got
Galaxy.
Bits of it, but like... Rogue Galaxy, from what I remember, is kind of like Skies of Arcadia set in space, so you're space pirates, so everyone looks like spacey. I think there's like Lost Space is, I think, one from Sega that kind of has similar visual aesthetics.
Made me also think of Gunbuster, some of the enemy spaceships
as well. I'm not familiar with Gunbuster.
It's classic sci-fi anime. From the guy who did Evangelion.
Oh, okay. No, I don't know that one. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. So, yes, a thumbs up, but will I really spend a lot of time with it? Oh, it's me. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't only play it on planes.
No, that's good.
I've still got Breath of the Wild to play.
How much of that have you played?
Oh, a few hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I would say Breath of the Wild is probably worth...
Oh, of course. I know. That was one that was like, wow.
Yeah.
Whereas Xenoblade, yes.
Yeah.
It was also quite impressive, but it's not on the same level.
Well, I mean, like, to be honest with you, I question a lot of the 8s and 9s and 10s that game's got in reviews now in wake of Breath of the Wild.
Other than the fact it being quite visually arresting and rather large in scale, it doesn't seem to be, in terms of storyline or gameplay, too different from other RPGs. With real time battling. Yeah.
And that's why I kind of was like, okay, I'll play this eventually, but
who knows? Played it for just over an hour, probably, so I can't make any judgment on it yet. My first impressions. £15, I wouldn't have bought it any more than that.
Yeah.
Thought that was a good enough price for me to just try it out, at least.
I need to go back and beat that other JRPG that I can't remember the name of, that I really liked on the Wii U. The only other one,
Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
Tokyo Mirage Sessions, yeah, that's the boy.
That's quite a good write-up as well.
I mean, it's a pretty good game. It's pretty much a Persona game on the Wii U.
It's like Persona, is it?
It's that's what it is. It's Shin Megami Tensei Cross Fire Emblem.
Oh.
So Shin Megami Tensei with some characters from Fire Emblem in it. It's good. It's worth picking up if you see it cheap.
Yeah, I feel like I've got a fairly complete Wii U collection in terms of what I'm interested in, at least.
I need Super Mario 3D World, and I need Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. Yeah. Then I think I have everything I want.
They're good games to have.
I did pick up Tekken last week, actually, though. Oh, yeah. I was in a flea market, and I saw it for 40 krona, so I said I'll have some of that.
Yeah, sure. It's a good version. Some may say the best version of Tekken Tag Tournament 2.
Still sealed as well, so I was like, I can't say fairer than that for a brand new copy of Tekken Tag.
That's good. That's good. I want Tank Tank Tank, and I want Wii Sports Club.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And that's it, I think.
Oh, actually, I need the Kirby game as well.
Oh, yes.
I don't have that.
Which one?
The...
Is there just one?
There is just one, yeah. It's the Rainbow...
Yeah,
paintbrush,
the sequel to
thing.
Paintbrush.
Yeah,
Kirby's
I can't remember
paintbrush.
The bloody name of it. Oh, God, Tom, it's all going wrong.
Speaking
it's all going
of
wrong.
Kirby,
yeah.
I picked up a Kirby game along with Castlevania for the DS.
Yeah.
Which Castlevania is it?
Order of Eclise.
That's the one.
Yeah.
And I just having a quick go on it there. I haven't really played any of the more Metroid-type Castlevania games.
Which
so,
is interesting, because it's what a lot of people... called the good Castlevania.
Yeah,
games.
When I think Castlevania, I think of the other ones, the original. Well, I didn't play the second one, played the first one and the third one.
Yeah,
and then I played the Rebirth one, on which is a remake of the Game Boy one, isn't mm-hmm. it? The Rebirth one for the Wii. I like that one, and the one on the PSP, and also, of course, as I was mentioning before, the Mirror of Fate HD.
Yes,
I think then I said I hadn't really played any Castlevania. Did I say that?
I think so. Yeah.
Well, I have.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't going to call you out on it, but yes.
Castlevania 64 as well, I've gotten played a little of. So that Castlevania game. So I was interested to have one for the DS and try this other style. I have a copy of Symphony of the Night I can play, which is probably preferable. But this is portable, and I'll give that a go. But I also picked up Kirby and his Ultra Superstars. What's it called? Kirby Ultra Superstar. Superstar Ultra.
Yes.
Yeah. Which was a game I'd been... I remember when I used to work at Game. Like, oh, look at that box. It's so shiny. Oh, I want that one. I knew it was based off the Super Nintendo one, which is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I'd pick that up. And then, over the years, I just sort of forgot about it. And then I saw it for a reasonable price. It was, I think, £17 equivalent.
Yeah.
So over here in Denmark. And I thought, well, I'll get that. Along with Castlevania, and then that was about £12, sorry.
Yeah.
Which, for those games, appears to be quite good. There's one trip onto eBay told me that the cheapest one's about 40 quid. So it's some people wanted more,
mm-hmm.
talking about 60 maybe for Castlevania.
Yeah.
So I thought, wow, I'm quid's in there. And it was also a 3-for-2
mm-hmm.
deal. So, of course, I had to pick up... There wasn't a lot else that I wanted on the DS that they had in there. So I had to... Nintendo Touch Golf Birdie Challenge.
Okay, interesting.
Otherwise, if there had been another reasonably expensive game in there that I wanted, I would have picked it up. But that was 79 as it was. So it's like, I'm never going to pay 79 for Touch Golf, so I might as well get it for free.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I do like golf games, so... Mm-hmm. Not bad at all. The bargains continue, Matthew. Can I just go on my...
Go on your Danish deals.
I was in Blue City. I went there after work yesterday. And only the other day I was saying to my friend Gareth, who I play mm-hmm. online with, we were playing Call of Duty 2. I said, I really like to play Call of Duty 3, but it's always so expensive still, right? It's about 25, 30 quid.
Really?
Yeah. New. Okay. Second hand. Well, 30 quid new on Amazon for Black Ops 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then a lot of places charging 25 quid, £20, 25 for it secondhand. I think more 25. So I was like, right, I don't want to buy it at that price. It's been out since 2015.
Okay. Let's step back. You missed out to the important words Black Ops. You said Call of Duty 3. And I was just
sorry.
That game's shit. Why is that £25?
Okay.
New?
I do apologize. Yeah. Black Ops 3.
Yes.
Right. So now, does that make more sense?
Now it makes more sense.
So I do also want to play the prices it's been asked for mm-hmm. at the moment. And I found it for 12 quid.
That's all right.
And I thought it had been priced wrong because the Xbox One equivalent, so I bought on PS4, was 250 kroner, which is about 27 quid.
Yeah, but remember that time you were so nice enough to give me the priority of buying that copy of The Witcher, which was like 50 kroner, and then the Xbox One version of it's still there for like 350.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but I was more than happy to pick it up at that price.
I think it honestly depends on who is pricing them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So that's good. I've had a little bit of a go with it this morning, but I tell you what, I've played a lot of Call of Duty recently. This is so different. You know, you have like character types. So when you start up the game, you choose what type of character you want, and each character has their own special move.
Yeah, yeah.
You can choose between two of them. Mm-hmm. And I guess it also affects how quick they are, perhaps, because I'm using a, what's she called? She's a girl with the bow and arrow.
Yeah.
Right. But I didn't choose the bow and arrow one. I chose some sort of like special sense, if you can tell when people are around it, so you can see them on the radar better. So first of all, that's weird.
Yeah.
And characters have individual personalities and they talk as well, which was new. And it's so colourful.
Black Ops 3 is perhaps the best of the Call of Duty games. I also like the campaign of that. It's not as good as I was hoping it would be because a lot of people bigged it up to me.
I didn't know you played it.
I rented it from the library and beat it a couple of years ago.
Black Ops 3?
Yeah. The campaign's interesting.
Yeah. Tell you what I liked especially. One of the multiplayer maps I played on was called Splash and it was a water theme park.
Okay. I haven't played
and
that
the
one.
Creativity in that level design was amazing. You actually felt like you were at a theme park. It was so cool. It was so brightly coloured and everything. The water slides and all sorts.
And then you shot people in it.
Yeah, but it's hard. It's like this is the hardest time I've had with the Call of Duty for a while. I don't know if it's because it is does play slightly differently. You've got that wall running and the double jump. And
see, the thing I think you need to bear in mind is that not a lot of people moved on from Black Ops 3. That's considered the pinnacle. Black Ops 2 and Black Ops 3 are the games people play.
I play Black Ops 2 on a weekly basis. I consider myself reasonably good at it. You know, I do rather well. I'm not top tier, but I can hold my own in it. Yeah, for sure. But this, I initially thought, well, is it going to be like Black Ops 2, isn't it? It feels so different in both presentation and the gameplay isn't too different, of course not, but it's different enough to be a bit challenging. I think, and as you say, maybe this is the one where all the pros are playing.
This is the thing. No one plays the... Oh, God.
Advanced or Infinite?
Infinite Warfare.
Yeah. I don't know if I mentioned it in the podcast last time, I played Advanced Warfare.
Yeah.
And I was doing really good at it. Yeah, yeah. I was finishing top. And that's maybe because not a lot of people are playing Advanced Warfare.
No, and it's Halo.
I do like it, though. I think Advanced Warfare is definitely closer to Black Ops 2 than Black Ops 3 is. But Black Ops 3 definitely offers something fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I like it. But I was initially a bit taken aback by the changes.
Yeah, I think it did for a lot of people. I think that's why it got mixed reviews when it came out. But I hear that people prefer it to Infinite who still play Call of Duty, as a few of my friends back home still do. Yeah. They don't play Infinite, they play Black Ops 3.
Mm.
So,
how about that?
Mm-hmm.
So that was another bargain. I was in Glasgow, as you know.
You were. Jet Setter, International Man of Mystery. We discovered this.
I picked up Xeno Blade.
Shabba-dabba-doo.
And that's pretty good. I talked about that a bit already. I also picked up Super Soccer, box for 10 quid for the Super Nintendo.
In CEX or?
No, that was in an independent game store, which I forget the name of in Glasgow. Okay. It's on Union Street and it is very near to Game and CEX.
Yeah.
And yeah, they were really nice in there, very friendly. And they had a good selection of stuff. I also bought a US copy of WrestleMania 19, I think, for the GameCube.
Yeah.
Which was a fiver. I consider that to be pretty good. PlayStation game NHL Rock the Rink was fiver. That's sort of like an extreme version of hockey set in the future or something like that, which I thought looked like it could be fun. So I think that was all I picked up from there. Yeah, and I checked out CEX and I picked up the Saint Seiya game for the PS4.
Was it called GeForce Games?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
There we go.
I'd recommend popping in there if you're in Glasgow. It was pretty cool. I picked from CEX. I picked up F1 2015 for 12 quid.
Yeah.
I picked up Meteos Disney Edition for the DS, which was 3 quid.
Yeah.
Which I'd actually say is the better one to go for, because visually it's more interesting than the original.
Yeah.
It's got really nice artwork in it.
And Meteors is a good game, though.
Yeah, it's a great game, and the Disney layer to it actually is really nice. Nice presentation. Tetris Worlds for £1.
Wow.
Which I was 5 minutes late here because I lost track of time playing Tetris again. And even though I have Tetris Worlds on the GameCube, I think this version's menus presentation are slightly different, at least. It's got more of the Roger Dean artwork. But I didn't realise that Roger Dean drew the original Tetris logo.
I did not know that either.
Yeah, Roger Dean of the Yes album covers,
yeah,
of course.
That's weird. I did not know that. That's really interesting.
And they used some of his more Planetscape artwork on the packaging for Tetris Worlds for PS2, whereas they don't use it on the other versions for Xbox and GameCube.
Yeah.
They use it on the Game Boy Advance version. I picked up Twisted Metal for the PS3 for £4.
I have Tetris Worlds on the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which I have a quick go on. It's got like a story mode.
Okay.
Where it's like it covers each character. It starts with Sweet Tooth the Clown and the story from his past where he was off murdering a family and this young girl he wanted to kill escaped.
Okay.
So now he wants to enter this tournament so he can get this wish granted so he can kill this girl.
That is the thing of all Twisted Metals, is they have this story of like they enter the tournament so they can get a wish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his wish is to murder this child, which he missed out on murdering before.
Okay,
which is all pretty horrible, to be honest. And it's got a live action bit. So it's like live action stills.
Yeah.
It's a bit morbid, to be honest, the actual story mode. But I guess if you're into that kind of thing.
Which Twisted Metal is this?
This is Twisted Metal for the PS3. It's just called Twisted Metal.
Okay.
Gameplay seems to be good, though. I think it looked graphically really nice, and
I remember it being
very
announced,
intense,
and I remember it looking quite cool.
Yeah, it's very fast. It's faster paced than Black.
Yeah,
Twisted Metal Black. It kind of ramps things up, so it is fun to play. I think that's it now.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, Need for Speed the Run. I picked up from Blue City yesterday.
Yeah,
which I'm gonna have to say is rather good. Visually, it's astounding, and I love the idea that there's a constant progression to the game. It's like levels. You know, you have to go from, I think, San Francisco to New York.
Okay,
I think that's right.
I'm not sure.
So, you start off in like 250th place, and then the idea is you get up to obviously first. But by certain milestones, like Las Vegas, you've got to be at place 150, for example.
So essentially your progression is gated behind where you are in this ranking. Okay.
Yeah. It's got a story as well. And at the beginning, you do quick time events. You meet the character who's going to be crushed inside a scrap yard, and there's a car crushers, and you're going to be crushed there, and you have to tap a button to get out.
Yeah.
And then you meet this woman character who says she can help you out and get you out of your court case or something if you enter this racing
Need for Speed the Run is kind of like the basis of a lot of people not really liking that Need for Speed they showed at this last E3.
But it's not heavy on story. There was that initial thing. And since then, there's not been another real cutscene. It's been races and time attacks.
Because that's the one criticism I hear to that game, and that's why I was very interested to hear your thoughts on it.
I'm expecting more cutscenes, but I have not encountered any more after about an hour of gameplay.
I hear it becomes very quick time heavy at one point, more so than racing. Yeah.
Okay. But the racing is solid, and the visuals are great. As you go through Yosemite National Park.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It really is one of the best looking races I've played on PS3.
Yeah.
Because the backgrounds are so cool. So that was only £3.50, and I think it's well worth playing, especially at that price, if you like racing games, as I do. But I've chatted enough. I just had to get through that entire list there.
Yeah. And you have an Xbox.
Oh, yes. Thank you for that, Matt. Put me up an Xbox.
I did.
A charity shop.
I found one in a charity shop.
Because mine broke recently. And yes, I do have a backup Xbox, but it's not black. I want to have I tell you what, my crystal one doesn't work, but my green one does.
Yeah, you have a green one?
That's the one that works.
Okay.
My transparent green one works.
Isn't that a Halo edition?
Don't think so. There is a green one that is a Halo edition, but it's not transparent, is it? Or is it?
I think so.
Oh.
I
think in America, there might have been a Halo 3 branded one, but over here
Halo 3 branded one is a 360, and that was released over here, and that is solid green.
Oh, yes, sorry. Halo 3 is a 360 game.
It is, yeah. There's also an orange one, but that was only if you were one of the people who beta tested Xbox Live or worked on Xbox Live.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
There is an orange, wasn't there? Yeah. The green one's very cool. But I fancied having another black one. And I'd love to know if you can actually take the hard drive out and put it in another one.
I assume so.
I'd hope so. I don't think it's easy compared to maybe a 360 hard drive. But I imagine if you've got a little bit of expertise, you could probably move it.
One would assume it's not too hard.
Otherwise, I've essentially lost all the save games.
Heartbreaking.
I hope this tray works on this new one.
Yeah, fingers crossed it should. Yeah. Let's see.
Because that was a problem with the original Xbox. That you couldn't open the disc tray.
Oh, no, not good. I didn't try this one out, to be honest. It went straight in the cupboard. Yeah. But we'll have a look. I haven't really played much. I beat Batman. You hear my
thoughts. Watched that.
Yeah.
Looked good. I like these blocks in the levels, wasn't there? And there were different colour blocks, and they seem to have some sort of reasonable impact on the gameplay.
They do, yeah. There's light and dark blocks. The light ones give you just are there essentially like as a almost a penalty, and they sometimes obscure your way, so you need to shoot the blocks first before you move.
Yeah, that seemed like the most unique thing about the actual platforming.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said in the review, the Game Boy version of Batman's incredibly floaty in the platforming.
Yeah.
The NES one's very good. It gets very hard towards the end of the game.
I've played the NES one. Visually, never got very far with
visually it. Looks amazing, and the music's great, and some of the almost like free roaming style to the levels, like there's multiple paths to
the same
thing.
Is this the Game
thing.
Boy one we're talking
no,
about?
No, this is the NES one. That's pretty impressive, and I'm actually going to look out for a copy of that now, because it doesn't seem too expensive.
That was one of the first NES games I ever got. When I got my NES, which was, I don't know, about 10 years ago, probably, now, when games weren't as expensive as they were.
You can buy a copy of Batman for about £12 on eBay. It's a very, very common title.
I got a nice condition boxed one. I don't know if that's worth
That's
more.
Probably worth a bit more, just in the nature that it's boxed, I think. So I played those two games. I played a bit of the Mega Drive version, which was a side-scrolling beat-em-up in a la Streets of Rage, but nowhere near as good.
Oh, not as good as Batman Returns on the Super Nintendo.
No, not as good as Batman Returns on the Super Nintendo, even. And then I played the PC Engine one, which was essentially a top-down maze game, quite similar to something like a Booby Boys or a Hey Young Guy Alien.
Maybe it wasn't meant to be a Batman game.
I just think they were literally abusing the fact they still had the Batman license and their NES title was still selling, which is why it's so common, because they kept it in print a long time.
I think maybe Batman the Spectrum or the Commodore 64 is quite unique and quite good.
I hear the Spectrum one's pretty good, Spectrum but this was purely on the Sunsoft ones, the Sunsoft developed ones.
Oh, right. Okay. Because there's one on
Ocean
the Amiga that's quite unique.
Ocean made the Spectrum and the Commodore ones, I think.
I remember playing the Amiga one.
Yeah.
Back at
I do.
The other place,
back in the day. But other than that, I played some Yakuza. I beat Yakuza 3. That is done and dusted as of last night.
And
the
I
year
think
of Yakuza
I know
rolls on.
That you preferred too.
I do, yeah.
I read that.
I did.
Twitter.
I put it on a tweet.
Yeah.
Because we are in an age of information, Tom.
So if you follow Matt Boyle on Twitter, you may already know that he doesn't think Yakuza 3 is as good as Yakuza 2, but we all want to know why.
Right, so Yakuza 3, like, it's all right.
Oh, that's high praise.
Yeah, and I mean, for those of you who listen to this podcast a lot, will have heard my praise of Yakuza 1, 2, and Kenzan. Yakuza 2, I think, is still the best Yakuza experience. Yakuza 1 is incredible, but there's some nice quality of life things they do in Yakuza 2 to beef out the experience and make it feel a lot nicer to play. That Kenzan then improves on, and Kenzan does a lot of cool stuff. Unfortunately, it's only available in Japanese, so unless you want to watch it on the internet or do what I did and play through it in Japanese, those are your only options available. Kenzan does a lot of really cool things, like the first Yakuza game is essentially a lot of street brawls. It builds up the character of Kiryu Kazuma, and then you go to a big boss fight at the end, and like you go through a tower.
Don't spoil it for
but
me, Matthew.
By the time you get there, you're super pumped up, and you're able to go through this thing with ease. Yakuza 2 then kind of puts you in a lot of these situations where you're Kiryu Kazuma powerhouse. and puts you in like a building, and you need to beat the shit out of everyone to get to the end.
Right.
It's like, clearly that is the defining moment of the first one.
Yeah.
And they do it a lot in the second one.
Okay, but that's not to his detriment.
That's not to his detriment. It doesn't feel that over the top there. It's actually just kind of like, oh, wow. Like, everyone's kind of heard about Kazuma by that point, and so everyone's trying to, like, just gang up on him, and he's beating the shit out of him because that's what he does.
The combat's okay.
Yeah.
But that's not the main reason you play Yakuza.
No, it isn't. It's the story, and the story's incredible.
Yeah.
Then Kenzan came along. The story in that is weird because it's a completely different beast, and it's more a story of like betrayal and all this kind of stuff. Very still feeling like Yakuza, but very different at the same time. But it does some really cool things, like I told you, some of those moments, like being able to walk down the street and then suddenly like, shit, quick time event because someone's about to pull a sword on me, and Kiryu needs to pull out his blade to stop it.
I'm still impressed you got so much out of that game, seeing that you were having to get it, you know, watch a video to know what was going on as well.
It's just because it's right? a very bloody good game.
Yeah, because a lot of it was more instinctive. You know, you could tell from what's happening in the cutscenes and the action to the characters generally what was going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess key plot points you had to refer to.
Yeah, but it was also, it felt nice because there was a lot more to the combat because you were using different kinds of weapons.
Oh, and
depending on your having one sword or two swords, or your short and long sword, really varied up how you attacked.
Did swords ever come into it in regular Yakuza?
I mean, like, there will be enemies who will attack you with a sword and you can pick them up, but it's generally you press square and then you hit people with it.
Yeah. So baseball bats?
Baseball bats, crowbars,
you can
knives.
Pick up all sorts, can't you?
You can pick up all
Yakuza.
Sorts. You can pick up bicycles, you can pick up couches.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you can, yeah, I remember.
There's crazy shit to pick up and beat people with. So, Yakuza 3 feels very much like they just made Kenzan in a modern day setting. Like, there is a clear, like, there's a clear progression from Yakuza 1 to Yakuza 2 and what they're capable to do with that engine. Then Kenzan kind of is them establishing that engine and also adding a lot of new stuff that they're only really able to do in this universe because it's set in Edo, Japan.
Yeah.
So you have swords and you do all these things. And then Yakuza 3, you can buy weapons, but like I never did because weapons have, what do you call it when they break? There's a term for it, degradable weapons.
No, like but Zelda.
So like as you go on, like the weapons will break. And so I never bothered buying them because you could literally beat someone up in a fight, steal their
fists.
Sword, and then you'd have it for the next fight anyways, which is always happens.
Okay, so it's not as well implemented as that same system is in Zelda.
And to be honest with you, they remove from Kenzan, you level up as you're doing it and you can customize your fight style essentially.
Yeah.
So you could put money into like body, which means you do a lot more throws and you're a lot more resilient. Or you could put it into like Tai, which is your heat mode stuff. And your health and your stamina bar and how much heat gauge you've got increase just as you level up, essentially. They're not tied to one stat. Because in Yakuza 1 and 2, if you want health, you need to sacrifice your fighting style. And so when I played through Yakuza 1 and 2, because I needed a lot of health, because the games are quite tough, you end up trading off a lot to be able to survive these fights. And actually, it's probably very well balanced, because I was able to get through the fights with minimal move sets.
Yeah.
Just because I had a lot of health.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I would have been able to do a lot more of these crazy moves with less health and probably fare just as well.
Yeah.
Yakuza 3 kind of does away with that, the same way Kenzan does, so you can focus a lot more on the fighting. However, it doesn't really evolve more around like the system of press square 3 times, press triangle once or twice, depending on where you are on the move set trees. And then Kiryu would do some stuff. But I think as you progress, you're not actually learning new moves, you're just learning more powerful moves that are on the same button presses.
Right.
So it got to the point where I didn't even need weapons because I could press square 3 times and triangle twice and wreck bosses. So it was...
Triangle's always a heavy attack
triangle
button,
is the
it?
Heavy attack button.
I found this out playing Saint Seiya earlier as well. Not that I didn't already know it, but it's just every game.
I'm going to tell you a very interesting fact about Japanese things I learned from someone at work the other day that was confused by a PlayStation controller.
Because
she was playing a game and she, as someone who doesn't play many games, was annoyed that she was pressing X and like X was accept.
Oh, yes, because circle's accept in Japan.
Because circle is accept in Japan.
Because men and be okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't realise that was the reason. It was literally based around those. And I was saying, like, the reason everyone hates it is because the Super Nintendo, A was on the bottom and B was on the side. So you would always click that as okay.
But then on the Wii, the select button is not the bottom button.
Nope.
It's where the circle is on the PlayStation controller. It's A is on the side.
Yeah.
But it's the Dreamcast, which...
Yeah.
Went with A as the main one.
Mm-hmm.
And then any games that were translated to the UK from Japan for the original PlayStation switched the button.
They did,
apart from Final Fantasy VII didn't switch the button.
No,
so
it didn't.
So circle is select things on that, isn't it? Yeah.
But that's all because Sony decided to put icons instead of letters on their buttons.
Yeah.
And so that changed the whole paradigm of the industry. I thought that was super interesting.
Yeah, I think it makes sense that circle, okay. X is like back or cancel.
No, but like X marks the spot for me. X is like, yes, this
but
is
it's
the one I want. Yeah.
In Japan.
It's cancel in Japan, yeah.
Yeah.
Weird. Anyway, complete side thing that I thought was super interesting. Essentially, though, Yakuza 3 for me retreads a lot of the ground that's been retread in 1 and 2. And I think perhaps I would like that game more if I hadn't played Kenzen in between. Because for me, Kenzen does all of the stuff Yakuza 3 does.
Oh, yeah. Because most people wouldn't have played Kenzen.
No, they wouldn't have. And there's a moment in Kenzen, like right to the end of the game, where you're about to fight the bad guy, and essentially all of his men surround you in a circle. Mm. And so they're running at you one at a time. And you're like, you know, you're samurai swording them, because by that point you're super powerful and like two-hit killing everyone as they're coming at you from all these angles. It's a really epic moment.
Mm.
But in the same way Yakuza 2 takes the moment from the first game of the end where you're running through this building and goes, okay, cool, we're going to do that to you more than once. Yakuza 3 does the circle thing all the time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel anywhere near as epic as it does.
Yeah, because it's overused.
It's overused, but it also has no purpose. Like, in Kenzen, it's like, you've fought all these people, he's injured, like you need to do these things, and now they're throwing all of this wave of enemies at you the same way they do in the first game.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, oh, there's a circle of enemies.
Just and reminded just becomes... me of the end of Shenmue then.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how many person battles, it's 70 odd person battle.
Yeah.
You know, oh, memories.
Memories.
I forgot about that.
Oh,
it's all come back to me.
So it does these things. Like you have loads of these circle battles. It also does a lot of the things I didn't really like about 2, like the one or two like bad things about 2, that there's a lot of like chase sequences. And there's
like Crash Bandicoot.
They're very easy to fail.
No, not
and like
Crash
I never died once playing Yakuza 3. Like I managed to breeze through the combat.
Because you're a Yakuza pro now.
I can battle with the best of them. Like I beat like the guy from Black Monday, which is the secret organization, which is the plot going through Yakuza 3, yesterday. I didn't take a hit because I was just like, I know the engine so well that I know when which point in a character getting up that I can hit them now.
Yeah.
And so I just kept juggling him in the corner with this 5-button combo.
Are you getting tired of it now, though? You've played a lot of Yakuza slightly, one after the other,
so,
pretty much.
The thing that kind of struck me by the end of Yakuza 3 was I'm kind of done with Kiryu Kazuma.
Mm.
Because he, as much as I love him as a character, he is perhaps one of my favourite characters in video games now.
Mm.
He is very much your show and jump protagonist that I've talked about on this podcast before. He is very much this guy who is super strong but super humble and helps people out, and people don't like that, so they try and kill him.
Yeah.
He ends up having a fight with them in the end, topless, showing his dragon tattoo, and they learn the error of their ways.
Yeah. Heart of gold.
He has a heart of gold.
Misunderstood.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, good man, bad situation, yada, yada, yada. And so I was like, okay, I don't need any more Kiryu Kazuma. I'm kind of okay with this.
Yeah.
And I think this is what the series has kind of been struggling with, and why episode six, is the last Kiryu Kazuma game. And they've stated 7 will have a new protagonist and Kiryu won't be in it. It won't have nothing to do with the Tojo clan.
Mm.
Because I think that's what it needs.
Mm.
4.
You still got a few though to go before?
I have four. I have Dead Souls. I have five. Ishin is starting to be translated, but by the time I get there, I don't think it'll be ready to play. Zero. And then I will have Kiwami or whatever it is. The remake of One. Which I'm very curious to play because I want to see if they take all of this.
That could be your favourite.
Maybe.
Couldn't it?
It could be. Because Yakuza 1 is an incredible, incredible game. And honestly, like, if you are listening to this and you're like, oh, I don't want to play seven games, just go buy that in August. Because, like, as much as I'd say Yakuza 2 is a good game, overall, Yakuza 1's probably better.
I do wonder, though, how you'll like Zero.
I'm very curious.
Because Zero would be an entry point for a lot of people who hadn't gone to the series before the PS4, at least.
Yeah.
So it's going to be probably my first one to play.
Yeah.
Now, because I've started that and I hadn't started Yakuza 1 yet. Despite you recommending I didn't, and then I started playing Zero, so I should probably continue Zero now.
Yeah.
So I wonder how you'll like that one.
I'm very curious, actually, because, like, Yakuza 3 has a few very silly moments in it that I'm like, okay, this is the start of Yakuza getting goofy. In all fairness, that's what it needs.
Yeah.
Because the first two, like I said, they are Takeshi Kitano movies. They are super serious revenge tales. That's why I really like them.
Yeah, Zero doesn't start off too serious.
No.
I mean, you do karaoke very near the beginning, and you have this sort of fantasy scenario plays out.
Yeah.
And you have some funny drunks that you beat up at the start. Yeah. And the tone isn't too serious.
No. But, like, that's the thing with Yakuza 3 that's kind of nice, and I'm kind of curious to see if it carries forward.
I imagine it will.
Is it juxtaposes very, very light-hearted moments with super serious, like, one of your protégés getting shot in the chest to save you after a very lighthearted moment because you were clowning around doing something with the kids and you just hear a gunshot.
The kids in the orphanage.
Yeah. this is the thing for me. Right? Yakuza 3 has a lot of stuff that doesn't feel rewarding. It feels like very much everyday stuff. And while the first two Yakuza games, you always feel like you have purpose, and that's not to say you don't feel like you have purpose.
Were they a
when
bit more grand, would you say?
Yes.
A bit more like heroic. You felt more heroic.
And the story in Yakuza 3, like, it's a good story, like, when it reveals everything, but there was just so much going on. Like I said, the whole, like, starting with Daigo, who's your friend from the second one, getting shot by Fuma, who's your dead father, and you're like, what the fuck is going on? And they don't explain that, or they don't show you those two characters and the consequences of that event until, like, 10 hours into the game. And there's all of the rest of it then is just other side stuff. And you go and beat up Majima like you do in every game because he doesn't want to do anything until Kiryu shows. And it's just, it feels like it's a retread of the first two games without any of what made the first two games great. And like,
but it's like, why is he on a PS3 now?
Yeah, exactly. But Kenzen does a lot more and better.
Yeah, interesting.
So I started playing 4 last night. I played the first two chapters of 4.
Oh,
and I have to say, so far, I'm preferring 4.
Is the one with multiple protagonists?
It is. Right? For the first time ever, you do not start the game as Kiryu Kazuma. Yeah. He is in the game. I realize I'm saying his name as you write it. It's actually Kazuma Kiryu, but Japanese people say their names backwards.
It's all right.
So you start the game, and instead of, you know, you just going into it and going, yeah, we're Kazuma. What's Kazuma doing now? There are multiple protagonists, and it's actually kind of interesting because you start off as a guy called Akiyama, and he is a loan shark. But he's not like your traditional loan shark. He's kind of a loan shark with a heart of gold, and he lends people money without, like, credit or whatever. And
it must have a lot of money.
He seems to, yeah. He said, like, but he apparently always gets his debts.
He always gets it back.
And apparently after he's lent people money, they never lend money for him again. And, like, the Yakuza guy says it in a really serious way as if, like, or he kills them because they can't afford to pay it back. But it doesn't seem to be that way. He seems like a very good-hearted guy.
Maybe you haven't seen his dark side yet.
No, but there's one flashback very early on at the end of the first chapter. You're like, okay, cool. I kind of understand why this character is this way.
I guess he's got to be likable if he's a protagonist.
Yeah. They up the combat system a lot. He is very fast. He is very different from Kazuma. His kick is equivalent from if you say that Kazuma is Ryu, like, you know, he's got a very strong low kick. This guy's more like Fei Long. He just has rapid kicks and stuff and rapid punches, and he feels super fast, but it feels really nice because I'm like, oh shit, I'm literally like, when you dodged in Yakuza, like, you did that quick shift. But when he does it and, like, you quick shift behind someone and lay three punches into him and quick shift and lay three kicks into the front of him and stuff, it feels super nice. I don't know how the story's going to go. I'm also kind of a bit sad that... bless you. Yeah. I'm also kind of a bit sad that Kazuma's in it. Because...
You're fed up with him.
I know... No, but this is the thing. Like, I hate to say I'm fed up with him. I just think Yakuza 3 is so repeats the same things.
Yeah.
That I think it could fall into the trap. And I hear Yakuza 5 is amazing. I hear Yakuza 5 is perhaps the best in the series.
Mm. Have you got that hard drive space?
I bought a new hard drive, installed that new hard drive.
That is in there already. Or?
It is in there, downloaded. Yeah. It took me like 7 days to download it, but it's there.
Big download. How big is it?
It was 40 gig or something
like that. Like PS4 standard downloads.
Yeah, my hard, it took a long time. My internet isn't the best in this apartment either. So I played that. I'm like, okay, this is super interesting. But I'm also kind of, I don't know how the story's going to play out, because it seems like the story is made up of four chapters for each of the four characters. And while I have been introduced to at least one of the other characters, I'm afraid, or I actually kind of would have, I'm not sure if I would have preferred that they would have kept them as like small vignettes of stories of different characters and then maps they pay off in the end. Because it seems to me like once you've appeared the four chapters of one character, it transitions into another character and it all connects to form a bigger story.
Is that like GTA?
Because
that also does the same thing, doesn't it? You play through several different characters and then they kind of become intertwined somehow.
Yes. And that seems to be the thing. Yeah. And this all, I think, is Kazuma's going to be the link of it all, probably. Because it's like, you were a guy and he clearly, like at the moment, he knows how the Yakuza works and it's perhaps hinted that he was a Yakuza, but now he's not a Yakuza. And there's loads of silly stuff there, and like the characters he interacts with are characters you would never see Kazuma Kiryu interact with.
I wonder if in relation to GTA 5, this game was before. It was definitely before
2012.
I would imagine there's been some influence, perhaps.
Maybe.
Because that was a big leap for that series, wasn't it?
Yeah.
To say that you're going to have more than one protagonist, and everybody is quite different. Characters in that, like, intentionally very different, and it seems like the
seems
same
to
thing.
Be the same here. Yeah. Like one of the characters is, like I said, Akihara, or I can't remember the guy's name. When he just started playing it, he is a loan shark, like I said. Yeah. But like I said, loan shark with a heart of gold.
Yeah.
One of them is a corrupt police officer.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. Then one of them is a convict who's been serving life in prison for 25 years because he committed some, like, massacre.
Oh, dear.
As a Yakuza. And then, obviously, there's Kazuma as well. So I'm curious to see the juxtaposition between those. And I guess you have to make them super different because Kazuma's in it. Like,
maybe by the time you spent this time away from him, when he returns, you can be like, oh, hello, old friend.
I hear his chapters, but I hear his chapters are very short. I hear they're pretty much there to tie the story together. Okay. I'm kind of curious to see how that works, but I maybe this will be like the nice palate cleanser for Yakuza 5, but I got to play Dead Souls in between there and then. So
with Dead Souls, is it a very different sort of game, or is it...
I think it's set in the same world. I think it's more about guns and killing zombies, though. So maybe
That's what.
Yeah, we'll see.
I get from it. But...
I hear it's not very good either. No. I fear it is perhaps the least regarded of all of them.
Yeah, it's a spin-off.
It is, but like Kenzen and Ishen are both very well regarded. And like I said to you, Kenzen for me, if...
But it's a different type of game. It's a spin-off, but it's not the same sort of game.
I think it is, though, right? I think it's just, you know, like the same way Kenzen has swords, I think Dead Souls has guns.
How come Dead Souls was so much more readily available and affordable?
Because I think it came out in the height of zombie fever, right? Like, you know,
people would just buy it because it had zombies in it.
Every time, you know, like in the 90s when everything had cavemen in it, I think that was the era of zombies, you know, like Left 4 Dead was out and you also had like...
It's still happening.
Everything else, you know,
Call of Duty Zombies.
Right, you know? Yeah, it's Call of Duty. World of War came out with Call of Duty Zombies. There was Red Dead, Undead Nightmare. There were a few movies in the cinema.
Undead Nightmare, you forgot about that.
That's perhaps the best zombie game. That's really good.
What was I thinking about then? Yeah, I heard that World War II is going to have zombies as well.
Yeah, of course it is.
Which seems a bit tonally off for me.
Well, I mean, no, not really, because that's where it started with World of War, wasn't it? It was Nazi zombies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just back to the same. Yeah. I just don't know. When you call it World War II, it sort of implies
but
some
it isn't
sort
even,
of...
It isn't even World War II, Tom. It's WW2.
Yes, yes. But, you know, accuracy.
Yeah.
No, but people love the zombies. I've never got into it myself.
I mean, like, I do enjoy a good zombie game, but that's how it goes. Yeah, it looks weird. It looks like it might be set in like an alternative dimension because, Kazuma's holding a sniper rifle. Majima's got a minigun. Ryo, who is the main bad guy in 2, who dies, has a gun arm. And then Akihara, the guy from this game, is there as well. So it's like, yeah, interesting. I could be interested to play that, actually. Maybe that'll be the palate cleanser.
Have you ever played Binary Domain? That's a good third-person action game, which I imagine Dead Souls would be.
I was going to buy, actually.
It's a good game.
I learned recently, after doing a lot of research on this, apparently that Akiba's Trip game is a parody of Yakuza.
Really?
Apparently, it is set in... is actually set in Kamabuchi, where, like, it's where I stayed, actually, when we were in Shibuya.
Yeah,
Shinjuku, sorry. It's where Konohama, or whatever it's called in Yakuza, is set. They actually set it in the real place.
Yeah.
And then it's just like women. I don't know. But it's apparently it's a parody.
So you might be interested to play that now you've played Yakuza.
I am.
In Japan. Is it on sale?
Yeah, it is. It's only 50 krona. So I was just like, I might just pick it up just to see what it's like.
Just to see what it's like.
But apparently it's a parody of Yakuza. And I was like, okay, I have no idea how that works because that seems very different. But yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
Fantastic. I remembered I bought another game.
What do you buy?
Tetris Funeral DS.
Oh, fuck.
I'll just make a point saying that one's actually got a really nice presentation to it because it's all Nintendo themed.
Yeah.
So as you play and as you get lines, Mario is playing through levels from the classic Mario games. Oh, okay. So he'll get to the flag when you get
a Tetris
and things like that. So it's really nicely presented. It's got some very unique twists on Tetris.
Yeah.
So it's fairly complete as a version of the game. So if you've maybe got Tetris Ultimate for 3DS and think, well, I don't need Tetris DS, well, it is quite a unique offering. So I say consider that.
Okay.
Because it's pretty good.
Interesting.
I have a lot of different versions of Tetris. And like in a little secret as well, I've been collecting Puyo Puyo games.
Oh.
I have a lot of them now, even the Japanese one.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, for the N64.
You bought the Game Boy ones yet?
Not yet. No. I don't have any Game Boy Puyo Puyos yet.
It's a shame that you started this up now, because box copies of that in Japan are very cheap.
Yeah. What a shame. Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
I have a lot of the other ones. I'm interested in getting that Sega 3D Classics for 3DS, because it contains the arcade version of Puyo Puyo 2, which has never been released outside of Japan.
Yes.
I have Puyo Puyo 2 for the PlayStation, though, but it would be nice for the English one to have it on 3DS, I suppose, but... Yeah, that game is about £20 odd, and I don't know if it's worth it just to play another version of Puyo Puyo. There are some cool arcade games on there as well.
It's got some good arcade games on that collection.
It has Power Drift on there, and a really good space one, actually. It looks really nice. Maybe I'll pick it up at some point.
I think.
I can't buy everything, Matthew.
You can't, Tom.
This hobby is...
It's kind of why I'm liking playing the Yakuza games at the moment, because I'm kind of justifying everything of like, no, I still have four more Yakuza games to play, and that's why I haven't been buying things.
Yeah.
Though I might get into Nier Automata before I play 5.
Yes, Nier.
Mm, but I'm also kind of like...
You like Nier?
I love Nier, and I hear nothing but good things about Nier Automata.
Well, you played some of it.
I really liked what I played.
You played about
the same as you have, yeah. And I really liked what I played, and apparently that game only gets better. So maybe I'll play it. Anyway, let's wrap this podcast up, Tom Perry.
That's been fun. Have you seen Spider-Man, by the way?
I have, yeah. I liked it.
I liked it.
Good.
Good.
Stick with that.
We're not talking about
films. No, we're not. Okay, if you like this podcast, you can listen to it in a variety of places. You can do so on blastprocess.com, on tomandmattattack.com/podcast, and also on YouTube, on the Blast Process channel, where I believe Tom Parry will probably post some kind of Parry's pickups in relation to the DS games you've heard about in this episode.
I can't show footage of DS games very easily unless I find some clip somewhere and use that.
Use a trailer, that's what I always
do. Yeah, I might use a trailer.
Yeah. So you can do that. You can also find us on iTunes, where you should give us a cheeky rate and subscribe if you haven't already, and share this around with people you think may be interested. You can check out some videos from me on my YouTube channel called Biographic, which is publishing videos each
smashing channel, I can testify.
Month on licensed games, because it is your license. I have no idea what I'm going to do next week. It's the first...
I thought you did. You said you were going to do something.
I'm Disney. I'm going to do Darkwing Duck, but I think I may do that at the end of the month because I need to beat the NES game. There is a variety of choices I'm playing with for next week. There's a Hunt for Red October, because I would get to do the entire video speaking like this. There is Dragonheart, which is a very interesting first-person maze RPG. I played a little bit of it, and I was like, wow, this is really interesting, but I fear it
Robin
may be
Hood,
very long.
Prince of Thieves?
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, I have not done, which is perhaps the ultimate licensed game, because it does everything. There's a few more. Like, I also really like Snoopy's Magical Show, which is a puzzle game that's quite good.
That's quite a lot of licensed
There
games.
Are a ton of licensed possibilities. So go to the YouTube channel and see what I pick on next Friday. Okay. And yeah, other than that, you can find me on Twitter at GameBoyle. You can find us on Twitter at TMAcast. And you can find Tom on Twitter at TomParry11. If you've liked this show, if you liked us talking about video games... If you'd like us talking about movies, though, last week, let us know, and maybe we'll do something there as well.
Please do let us know. Yeah, I don't think we've had any comments on iTunes for a while now.
I don't think so.
If you haven't already commented there, please go ahead and leave something we know what you think.
Let us know. And admittedly, like, we don't know that for sure because...
I went on there the other day.
The iTunes store is divided, though. Like, you couldn't see comments in Denmark if
you live
in the UK. Yeah, it's gone really weird, so it's really hard to see.
That. I just saw some really nice comments. Thanks for them. We have a good rating on there. But maybe I haven't seen them all.
No, this is the thing. Like, it used to show everything, and now it does it per market, which is a bit of a shame. Which is why, podcasts I listen to sometimes have, like, 12 ratings, and I know, like, that those podcasts are actually, like, top of the iTunes store in most countries. Yeah. So, there we go.
What country were bigger in?
Big in Japan, obviously, Tom.
Big in Japan.
Anyways, cool. Until next week, folks, it is time to say those immortal words. What are they, Tom?
On game.
Yes!